Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Constitution Day, Lee.
Well, thank you very much. Same back, right back at you there,
yes.
Tara. While we still have one.
While we still have one. Okay. Pop quiz. And I wouldn't give it to you if I didn't think you could do it.
Oh, no. Now the pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure's on. No, I know you can do this because my 9-year-old can. Only 56% of people in a recent poll could correctly name all three branches of government. Now, the good news about that is actually a 15-year high, okay?
Right.
All three branches of government.
Right.
What are they?
It's the executive, the representative, the legislature, and the judicial.
Yeah.
Right.
Bingo. You wouldn't think that would be hard.
No, if we actually taught this in school, it may be, but it is not emphasized.
I taught this to all three of my kids. And the reason I taught it to him, I actually went to this awesome lecture once by a constitutional scholar, and he walked us back. He was an attorney as well. Walked us back through when in the 1960s schools began teaching that these were co-equal branches,
yeah,
all equally powerful. And I had always accepted that. Like, of course they are, because we were all taught that, right? My kids were taught that.
Yeah.
I lost my mind when it came home, actually. And no, that was not what was intended. They were not intended to be co-equal branches,
no,
at all. They were actually supposed to go in this order: Congress on top, mm-hmm, most powerful, yep, second, yep, is the president,
right,
and third is the judiciary.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The judiciary was supposed to be an extremely weak branch of the government that was expected to be overruled a lot,
yep,
by Congress.
Instead, now we have... They have basically a judicial dictatorship, as you have said here numerous times, and I completely agree with you,
yeah,
with you on that in this country.
Absolutely.
Because we allow the judiciary to dictate to Congress, to the chief executives, and to the people of the United States what they think the law should be, whether and which they have no constitutional right to write law, but that's what they do.
Almost constantly. I mean, if you look at what they were supposed to do, they were only ever supposed to rule on constitutional issues.
Exactly. That's all the Supreme Court's there for.
The only thing it was ever supposed to do on laws was to interpret what Congress meant in the idea by a piece of legislation.
And what they should be doing is saying, this is not constitutional. Okay, so that means that the law doesn't have to be followed, but that means that Congress can go back and write another one, or should, or maybe not. I don't know. That's up to the, you know, what representatives decide there. But that's the way it's supposed to work. Not for Congress to then say, we don't agree with this, so here's what you got to do. No. That's not how it's supposed to work, but that's how it's working now.
People seem to know they have a First Amendment free speech right in this poll, right? So that's good, I guess. 74% of people correctly stated the First Amendment protects free speech. But fewer people knew, and a lot of people don't know this, it protects freedom of religion.
Yes.
That's First Amendment. Freedom of the press.
Right.
That's 50%. And the right to assembly, mm-hmm, 30%.
Yep.
Also the right
to peaceably assemble.
Peacefully assemble, right. And that right to assembly includes the right to exclude.
Yeah.
People who don't share your point of view. We had an incredible ruling this week, actually, at my old alma mater, Charlotte Catholic High School, where I graduated from. And there has been a battle going on for many years. There is a substitute teacher there who works there. He's on a payroll, who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a problem, okay? He's gay. He's on the payroll. This went on for quite a while. Everybody knew. Nobody cared, right?
Right.
Until he very publicly got married to a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a private religious school.
Right.
It exists so that people who share certain religious views can
right.
gather.
Yes.
Right. That is at the heart of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And they fired him not for being gay.
Right.
They knew he was gay.
Right.
They fired him for being married to a man. Because the whole purpose of having a religious school is so people who believe certain ways can gather.
Well, that's the whole thing. And that, I'm sure, was in his employment contract.
Oh, yeah. It's very clear.
That you must follow the tenets of the religion.
Of the religion. That has
been. Which only makes sense if you're having a religious school. It would make no sense to say that you have a religious school, but anybody employed by that school doesn't have to agree with your religion or have to promote it.
Exactly. Circuit Court this week ruled that they must take him back because he has a right to work there. So let's think about where we are just this past week, okay? If you are unvaccinated, you have no right to work.
Right.
However, if you are a religious institution, you cannot exclude people who disagree with the religion from being in a position of instruction, teaching, that sort of thing.
Well, not only just disagreeing, but openly in opposition to it and doing things in opposition to what the religion calls for.
Calls for.
What they believe, I should say, not calls for, but believe.
So they have to reinstate him. Okay, what was alarming about this decision and the, in terms of the First Amendment and, you know, the right to gather,
right.
What was alarming about the precedent here is that if they can do this, they can be, these people can begin to sue churches for not hiring them in a ministerial
right.
capacity.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going with this. What is the point of having a group, and most particularly religion, I mean, religion is at the heart of First Amendment, if you are forced to hire someone or could be sued for discriminating against someone
right.
who doesn't share your biblical views, being in the pulpit.
Right.
If somebody who doesn't share your biblical views has a right to be in the pulpit, you don't have a religion anymore. You don't have a church anymore. You don't have anything.
No.
And I don't care if you're the house of Satan and a Bible-believing Baptist would like to guide you.
Right.
That's not going to work out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Somebody who wants to come in and say, Satan, be gone.
Right.
That's just not going to work out. I don't obviously like those people. They scare me to death. But, you should be able to have a leader of your organization who you agree with.
Exactly.
Because guess what happens? If somebody could come in and do that, that'll fracture and scatter your church. So this is where they're headed, and it was absolutely terrifying to see the right of assembly, do that. Now, don't understand, I'm not trying to be intolerant here. If you are a gay, male, married substitute teacher, and you want to teach in the public schools, then you can't be excluded.
Right.
There's no doctrine to the public schools.
Exactly.
No religion.
Well, there shouldn't
there.
Be.
There should. Well, there is actually. It's a left wing doctrine.
Yes.
But but there's no official state religion. There's no, so that is a different thing. So I'm not saying somebody who's a married gay man can't be teaching children. I'm saying you can't do that in a school, the purpose of which is to teach biblically accurate things.
Right.
So again, this is the precedent they need. And I've been warning about this for years. You're going to begin to see churches sued because certain candidates were not interviewed. We're not given a fair shot at the minister's pulpit because literally they are living an opposite lifestyle to what is being taught from that pulpit openly and advocating for it. It's coming. And that's been their goal for a long time.
Right. Because I think that the ultimate goal is the destruction of religion.
And the church.
And the church.
Yep. That is the, and I don't know why the left is obsessed with the church and hates the church.
Yeah. Because the left wouldn't be where it is today without Christian churches.
No.
Because Christian churches went a long way toward many of the stated goals of liberals in this country with regard to human rights, with regard to civil rights, with regard to minority rights. You know, much of the 60s was led by Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, obviously a Christian man. I mean, you can debate whether or not you agree with everything that he stood for or said, but still, here was a Christian man, a pastor, that was advocating for civil rights and for minority rights. And, you know, at the time, Democrats were fine to align themselves with someone who would proselytize their concepts and you know, principles, as well as their own Christian theology. But not anymore.
And you know, what this means was in the statement by the diocese, the First Amendment, federal law, recent Supreme Court decisions, you know, all recognize the rights of religious organizations. They say this goes the opposite way. The religious organizations to make employment decisions based on religious observance. If you can't do that, then you shouldn't even exist. What's the point? I mean, what is even the point of having a Catholic school or even a Catholic church or a Baptist church or whatever? It doesn't matter. They do not and should not compel religious schools to employ teachers who publicly contradict their teachings. But that is where we are. And let me tell you what, this is what's coming, okay? Don't be surprised when this comes to your private religious school. They are going to get a tidal wave of people who are offended by religious teachings, who live their lives in the opposite of the way that the, you know, what your institution teaches. They're going to get a tidal wave of them applying after this decision, right? Because they want to get inside, because they want to contradict the religious teachings, mm-hmm. because, you know, they feel they're angry. They have anger about the idea that the Bible says you can't marry, and they're angry about that. And they want to get inside the organizations that teach right. that, and they want to undermine them. Quite frankly, you're going to see a tidal wave of that because of this. And so, parents who you know text me all the time, well, I'm just going to send my kid to private school. I don't even know. Well, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to do that. Well, don't understand what's coming after this ruling. I mean, I can't tell you how big of a deal this is. It'll be interesting to see if this makes it to the Supreme Court. And what they do with it. If they uphold this, honestly, private school, you know, give it a decade, they're going to be teaching the same stuff as public school. And you aren't going to be able to do a darn thing about it. Except maybe homeschool. But they'll come for you there, too. They will. They cannot abide by the idea that anyone thinks differently than them. That is how the left is. And again, like I said, Lee, I'm not down with the satanic temple.
No, yeah.
But a Baptist minister shouldn't demand the right to be able to apply at and get a fair shot at the leadership of the satanic right. temple because he wants to go in and recruit him.
No.
Although I hope he succeeds.
Yes.
But, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. See what folks are saying. Look, picture this, okay. Suppose you own a business or you work at a business or you do hiring, right? Right now you can't decide, you know what, I'm going to hire all people of, you know, this color. I just like them. I'm going to take the applications of the others and throw them out. You can't do that. You can't exclude by race. You can't decide, you know, I'm not going to hire people who are gay, or maybe you're a hiring manager. You decide, I'm going to hire all gay people and everybody else's applications I'm going to toss. You can't do that. But that doesn't apply in our churches right now when it comes to belief systems. So you're hiring a new minister. Your old minister was great. He retired. You want a new minister. You're a biblically believing church. You choose to gather together with others like you for that reason. That is the heart of the First Amendment. I'm going to tell you where this is going to go after this court case. Assuming the Supreme Court doesn't overturn it, we'll pray they do. We're looking back at your hiring records. This is the, what, Central Church of God? Yeah, it looks like you have excluded gay applicants who are publicly and visibly married over the last 10 years. Did you do that? Because it looks like we got a class action lawsuit. Well, yes, we're a biblically believing church. We would have to do that. They would be preaching from the pulpit. Now, at the same time, I would make the argument if you're a private business, should you be able to go through and throw out the applications of people who are gay and married? No, of course not. You shouldn't. You should be sued. You can't do that. We have to treat everyone fairly. Equal opportunity. But when it's a private organization, a church like that, that's what they'll begin to do. So you know how if you are in hiring, you're at a major corporation, right? You have to keep records of who has applied and keep all that on file. Specifically because of those lawsuits, they're going to come back and try to look for a pattern for you. Are you excluding, whatever? Looky here, it's been 10 years. You haven't interviewed anybody who is, fill in the blank here, who is black, who is whatever. But you've gotten a ton of applications. Could you explain that to the court? You chucked them all. Not one of them got an interview. So you are literally going to have Bible-believing churches having to sit down and interview people for the position who fundamentally disagree with their biblical position. That is where we are this morning after this ruling. The Charlotte Catholic. And again, the fascinating thing about this is not about prejudice against people who are gay. This is an openly gay teacher. They knew that when they hired him. He worked there as an openly gay teacher at this Catholic school. Nobody had any problems until he very publicly got married. And they said you had to go. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Suppose you're in a traditional Bible-believing church and your minister announces from the pulpit one day that he has married a man. Well, it goes against what it says in the Bible. That's why you're there on Sunday. Think how this would go, right? Because this is going to happen. Church elders get together. They pay his salary and they say, sorry, sir, we love you and we are all sinners, but you're going to have to go. There's no purpose in us gathering if you don't believe what we believe. He can sue. And if this is the precedent, he might win. He might win. Can you imagine? That's the end of privacy. It's the end of the right to gather. Because what you're going to begin to see is what you saw with the wedding cakes. If it gets out that you are Christian and you bake cakes, people who don't really want cakes but want to sue you will begin to show up. Knowing they could shut you down, cost you, bankrupt you, all of that. Because you're going to be forced to bake the cake. Well, now we're on to, you're going to be forced to hire the minister. You're going to be forced to hire people to teach your children at the religious school that you pay money to send them to because you want to gather. You want the right to exclude. You're going to have to do that. It's the end of privacy. And if that goes, folks, eventually you're going to have Tea Party forced to install Antifa leaders into their groups. And there won't be any more political gatherings. There won't be any more religious gatherings. You'll have to hide in your basement so they can't find you to practice your religion because they'll sue you. That's what this means. It was a big deal. And in everything that happened this week, it got lost.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it looks like our Attorney General, Alan Wilson, is in the fight. 24 Republican attorney generals wrote a letter threatening the Biden administration that they will sue over Biden's vaccine mandates. Must have a vaccine to work or test every week for COVID. First thing I did when I saw that, click to see if Alan Wilson, our attorney general, was one of those. He is. So that's good news. That's going to get very interesting. Meanwhile, do you see this? I want to explain to you what's going on here, okay? Because this is not what it looks like. A lot of folks excited. Oh, look, Durham, who moves slower than a turtle. Oh, look, Durham has indicted somebody's Clinton lawyer. Okay, for a Clinton lawyer to be indicted is not unusual. Somebody working, doing the dirty work for the Clintons, a lot of them end up dead or indicted, so that's not unusual. The story is Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman was indicted for lying to the FBI while spreading the false Alpha Bank rumor. Okay, couple of things here. The purpose of this, you got to understand something. Bill Barr works to cover up the FBI's crimes. That's what he did while he was there. It's very clear once he left. Bill Barr went out of his way and told us he did to keep the Senate Intelligence Committee, which was at the time under Republican control, from finding out about Hunter's laptop because there was evidence of a lot of crimes on there before the election. Delayed the prosecution and hid it for almost a year. So Durham was appointed by Bill Barr. They're of like mind. Okay, so the goal here with this investigation is to cover up the FBI's crimes and the crimes of the Democrat Party. You have to keep that in mind. There is no other goal. There's nothing else the Department of Justice or FBI function to do. They are criminal operations. They were under Bill Barr, a Republican, and they are now under the Democrats. That won't change. Did my podcast on that yesterday, on how we have reached the point where now our Olympic athletes have become the victims of FBI felonies, cover-ups, obfuscations. In this case, the FBI was working overtime to protect a pedophile. I mean, folks, that was one of the biggest stories to me this week. Think how this looks to the world. The faces, the four girls. Do you get that podcast, by the way, by texting Battleground to 71307? Four of the most recognizable faces in the world are gold medal gymnastics winners, victims of FBI criminality. And they flat out called them out. They weren't just saying, hey, wow, the FBI should have investigated. The FBI agent, special agent in charge of the Indianapolis office, the number one guy, committed felonies to hide grotesque sexual abuse that began when some of these girls were as young as 13. I mean, he was drugging them, having sex with them. It was horrific. And to hide the fact these crimes had occurred, they altered interview documents at the FBI in Indianapolis. Think about that for a minute. Well, in our country, we're in a country that wasn't upside down. That kind of FBI agent would be made an absolute, he would be held up as a lesson for others and destroyed. I mean, you could put him in prison for the rest of his life on those felonies if you don't cut him a plea deal. That's how serious what he did was. This is not the story of one crooked FBI agent. It's a story of how the leadership covered it up. He was allowed to retire. Full pension. Wasn't fired. Bill Barr could have indicted him, didn't. It even enraged Democrat senators. Chris Wray could have fired him, head of the FBI, didn't. Until word came down that the girls, the four Olympic medalists, were going to be testifying in public. They'd been invited by Democrats and Republicans. And then Ray went, okay, we got to cover up this crime. This is what is going on right here with U.S. Special Counsel John Durham. That is what the DOJ exists to do at this time. Cover up the FBI's crimes. The FBI is an international criminal organization. It exists to further itself and increase its own political power. It doesn't do much else. Yeah, maybe a little stuff on the side to cover up for make it still look like a law enforcement operation. So what is going on here? The reason Perkins Coie lawyer Michael Sussman was indicted for lying to federal investigators in 2016, and the story was bogus, but for a while you had to believe it. If you didn't believe it, you were a liar. Remember, New York Times broke it, reported it as truth. The FBI leaked it. Oh, yeah. Trump was communicating with the Russians through a server tied to Trump Tower and Alpha Bank. It was true. But it wasn't. And so what has happened here is that Michael Sussman, the attorney for Perkins Coie, allegedly did not tell the FBI that he worked for Hillary. Why are they prosecuting him? Keep in mind, Durham will not touch the real criminals at the FBI. James Comey, Andrew McCabe, who signed under penalty of perjury that the lies they told the FISA court were real in order to get the ability to spy on Donald Trump so that they could help the Democrats. He won't touch them. I would bet the contents of my 401k double or nothing on that. So why is he indicting Sussman? To cover for the FBI. Oh, yeah, man, all those Trump Russia stories we fed the New York Times. We told you he was a Russian agent, all that stuff. Yeah, we were victims here at the FBI. We did not know Michael Sussman worked for Perkins Coie, who worked for Hillary. We did not know. We here at the FBI are victims. It might look like we tried to frame the president with lies and that we might have committed some felonies lying to the FISA court that those lies were real, but we are the real victims here. That is what Durham is doing. This is, I had people on our side are so dumb. I saw this, I knew exactly what it was. I had people on our side, yeah, it's coming, man, it's coming. What? No, it's not. This is a protection racket for the FBI and nothing else. The FBI didn't know Perkins Coie worked for Hillary. Oh, come on. I knew Perkins Coie worked for Hillary. Everybody did. Perkins Coie, they are architects and have been for a long time, but predating Hillary, of Democrat Party lawfare operations, where they get the FBI to pretend that your president's a Russian agent. Everybody knows. Washington is a very small pond. Everybody knows Perkins Coie works first for the Democrats, secondarily for Hillary. The FBI knew. This is a cover-up operation. The guy who's been tagged to take the fall is Michael Sussman. Oh, us at the FBI, we could not have known Perkins Coie worked for Hillary. That is not a hard thing to know. They're a Democrat law firm. They do the dirty work of the DNC. Come on, they knew? Durham is a snake. Sussman's a snake, too. But he's a well-known snake. That's all this is. It's a cover-up operation. It's the FBI cleaning itself up. And the Department of Justice helping him. That's all. Well, Alex Murdaugh now has a jumpsuit photo. That's probably how you'll see him now. Gray jumpsuit. Yep. Turned himself in yesterday and appeared in court. 20,000 dollar bond, that's it. $20,000. Okay. Meanwhile, CNN reporting this and they word it weirdly. I've been talking about the housekeeper for a while. The one who died in a strange slip and fall accident. She was actually the Murdaugh kids' nanny for a long time. Of course, this is the big story, you know, the one where the mom and the son end up dead. Remember the reason that got so much national attention? It was assumed the mom and the son were killed in a revenge killing because of, you know, the many bodies the Murdaugh family has left behind them, including the body of the ex-girlfriend who died in the boating accident because the son was drunk. So that's why it got so much attention originally, not because anybody thought Alex Murdaugh, the dad, did anything. But now this is getting weirder and weirder. They're reopening the investigation into the slip and fall death of Gloria Satterfield, 57-year-old maid and nanny. That was at the family home, trip and fall accident. So apparently what's going on now, they have a new lawyer and realize they got robbed by Murdaugh. Murdaugh settled with them in the slip and fall accident, admitted responsibility, although not exactly how it happened, and got a friend of his, business partner, who's a lawyer, to represent the Satterfield family, the maid's family, basically. The lawyer got paid in the settlement, which was paid by the insurance companies, $177,000, but the family, the Satterfield family, never got anything. Here's how CNN reports this today. Satterfield, who spent more than two decades working for the family, died in what was described at the time as a trip and fall accident at the Murdaugh home. After her death, Alex Murdaugh misappropriated millions in settlements from the Satterfield family. The investigation into Satterfield's death was reopened, according to SLED. They're looking at her manner of death. It was reopened at the, this is so weird. One of the patterns with the Murdaugh family, we don't know how they do this yet, is when people around them die, there aren't autopsies. When people connected to them die, there aren't autopsies. I've been asking this question for a while. What's up with that? The coroner in Hampton County here, and this is all in South Carolina, was the one who asked to open the investigation. I would too if I was the coroner. He said that the decedent's death was not reported to the coroner at the time, nor was an autopsy performed. On the death certificate, the manner of death was ruled natural, which was inconsistent with the injuries sustained in the trip and fall accident. Yeah, it was inconsistent with the payout from Alex Murdaugh, which he then ripped the family off for. There's influence brokering here somewhere and profound corruption. That's what I'm interested in. Somehow this family is able to keep the police from informing the coroner or something. But a lot of folks going to prison over this, and it's not going to all be the Murdaugh family. This is going to get interesting.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.